Morning, I want to talk about God's will for our lives. And all you old folks are going to say, oh, well, that doesn't count for me, but I'm where the Lord wants me and all that. But it's going to count for all of us. So it's for you young folks, and it's for us old folks. And I say us because I'm talking to myself as much as anybody else. There's a couple of verses in the Bible that specifically tell us this is God's will. One of them is 1 Peter 2:15. And that says, for it is God's will and intention that by doing right, your good and honest lives should silence the ignorant charges and ill-informed criticisms of foolish persons. By our good works, it's God's will that our lives would show forth such goodness that it would just dispel all of the arguments and everything that other people have against the Lord Jesus in people's lives. And then over in 1 Thessalonians 5:18, it says, thank God in everything, no matter what the circumstances may be thankful and give thanks, for this is the will of God for you who are in Christ Jesus. You know, when I was back at Baylor, long time ago. In fact, it was so long ago that they didn't have cafeterias in those days. Well, I think they had started one, but all the rest of the dining halls were served, by the tables. And so I worked in the girls' dining hall. That was, the best place to work. And I worked in this dining hall, and we bus boys would get everything set up just before the meal. And the girls were standing there, and they had a little gate there, and it was like a stampeding herd getting ready to come in. But we had to be ready, and everything had to be ready a few minutes before the girls were allowed to rush through that door. And so we'd all have everything ready, and we'd be standing there, and we'd stand there, and we had our little tray of glasses here, and all the tables were set up, and the milk and all this stuff was ready to be poured. And we had a little game. And so while we were standing there, and nobody was doing anything, waiting for this stampeding herd to come in, so every now and then a busboy would pick a glass out of his tray, and he'd throw it across the dining hall, and he'd say, think fast! And the other guy'd catch it and put it in his tray. And we'd wait for a few more minutes, and nothing would happen. Right, you're right. So another guy would pick his out, he'd throw it across the other way, and he'd say, think fast. This guy'd catch it, and he'd put it in his tray. Well, one day, I pulled mine out, and I threw it across the room, and I said, think fast, But just as I let go of the glass, the dining room supervisor burst through the door, and the guy that was standing on the other side just watched it. This lady had no sense of humor. She was totally devoid of sense of humor. And she said, why did you throw that glass? And I said, well, he was supposed to catch it. Why was he supposed to catch it? Well, it's a little game we play, and I throw it and he catches it. Well, I paid for the glass. But there's a lot of times that we Christians kind of play that game with God. And God doesn't catch the glass, He doesn't play our way. He doesn't play our game. We say we want God's will for our life, but what we really want to do is map out something and some kind of a plan and then say, Lord, you bless it, But these verses that I've read here this morning about living the godly life, about praising God in everything. Those things aren't easy. And also, they don't have anything to do with vocation or location. God's will for your life and my life, really, the location of it and the vocation of it is really secondary. I believe that when we walk according to these verses, when we come to the place of being willing to thank God, in everything. And some people say, well, you know, I can thank God in everything, but, you know, there's just some things that come along that I don't really know that I can thank God for them. But you know what? Ephesians 5:20, it gets tougher as you go along. Ephesians 5:20 says, at all times and for everything, giving thanks in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to God the Father. At all times, and what does it say? And for all things. You know, that means even for a salary cut. That means even for the guy who bugs you a whole bunch. For the person that doesn't agree with you. Thanking God for mission board rulings that we just don't understand. Thanking God for sickness. For calamity. You know why? This honors God very, very much. When you and I can so believe that He is God and that He is in control of everything, that whatever happens to you or me, whoever He lets come into your life or my life, no matter how disturbing it may be, or how upsetting it may be, or how maybe much against anything we ever thought it was about His will for our life it may be, that we can thank Him for it, even though we don't understand it. That honors Him very, very much. And you know, that's His will for our lives, is for us to honor Him. Because, you know, Ephesians 5:20 follows Ephesians 5:18. And Ephesians 5:18 says, and do not get drunk with wine, for that's debauchery, but ever be filled and stimulated with the Holy Spirit. Because, you see, when you and I begin to empty ourselves, when you and I begin to die to ourselves, you see, we don't have to react anymore to these things. When the Holy Spirit is leading your life and my life, then it is possible for you and I to praise God in every situation, no matter what that situation may be. And it shows God that we know that He loves us so much that He really only wants the best for us. And whatever this thing is that has come into our life that should be so disturbing, we realize that it's for us. And it's for our good. Because He loves us more than we love ourselves. And He knows how to take care of us better than we know how to take care of ourselves. And what I believe this is an example of. This is an example of maturity. Of real maturity. Now you see, that is God's will also for our lives, that we may be mature. Ephesians, the fourth chapter says, Ephesians 4:12, and His intention was the perfecting and the full equipping of the saints, that they should do the work of ministering toward building up Christ's body, that it might develop until we all attain oneness in the faith and in the comprehension of the full and accurate knowledge of the Son of God, and that we might arrive at really mature manhood. And the Amplified says this, really mature manhood means the completeness of personality, which is nothing less than the standard height of Christ's own perfection. That's what God has in mind for. Maturity. And to be able to praise God in all situations and for all things is Christian maturity. Now, what is Christian immaturity? Well, that's over in 1 Corinthians, the third chapter. Christian immaturity is this. However, brethren, I could not talk to you as spiritual men, but as to non-spiritual, in whom the carnal nature predominates, and as to mere infants in Christ. That is, unable to talk yet, really, but those infants are. I fed you with milk, not solid food, for you are not yet strong enough, and when you are not yet, and even yet you are not yet strong enough for it. For you are still unspiritual and in the flesh, under the control of ordinary impulses. For as long as there's envying and jealousy and wrangling and factions among you, are you not unspiritual and of the flesh, behaving yourselves after a human standard and like mere men? He said, I had to treat you like babes. What does a baby do? What does a baby do when he wants his mama? Huh? You know? What does a baby do? What does a baby do when he's hungry? Wah. What's a baby do when he's cold? Wah. You know, really, that's just about all babies do, isn't it? Whenever they want something, they just cry. You ever know any Christians like that? Just complain all the time. I mean, they complain about the weather, they complain about the taxes, they complain about this guy, that guy, this church, that church. I mean, Christians, they complain. And you know, I think it's one of the most dishonoring things to God, just in the opposite direction of the other, for us ever to complain about anything. You know, God's will for our lives is not easy, is it? In fact, it's tough. Do you really want to be mature? I mean, a lot of you young people are always, you know, I just want to be grown up and I want to be mature. Well, this is the way. This is the way to be mature. To begin to trust God so much that you can thank Him in everything and not complain about anything. Because, well, we hit on it just a little bit a while ago in that passage in Corinthians, the fourth chapter. But it really tells us about it in Romans 8:29. Now, you see, I talked a little bit yesterday about Romans 8:28. We like Romans 8:28. Romans 8:28, that's a wonderful verse, you know. All things work together for good for those that love God and are called according to His purpose. Oh, boy, that's great. But why? It's because of Romans 8:29. And Romans 8:29 is tough. Because Romans 8:29 says this: For those whom He foreknew, He also destined from the beginning to be molded into the image of His Son, that He might become the firstborn among many brethren. That's really God's will for your life. He wants you, and He wants me to be molded into the image of His Son Jesus. Now, I don't believe you have to think very long. Or you just have to sit down and study and ponder very long to realize that it's going to take a lot of molding for you and me to make us like Jesus. You know, that's just going to take a whole bunch of molding. You know, I don't know if you ever heard of Manly Beasley, but he goes around preaching all over Texas and a lot of other places too. He had a couple of illustrations, and I want to share them with you this morning. One of them was about a sculptor who could take a chisel and a hammer and a piece of rock, and he could just carve beautiful animals and things like that out of it. And Manly said the guy went into this guy's studio one day, and standing over in this corner was this beautiful horse that had been carved out of rock. And here was this fellow just standing, sitting there, just chipping with his hammer and chisel on a big blob of rock. It didn't look like anything. And this guy said, you know, this is just amazing. You know, he got all excited about it. He said, I just don't see how you can just take a big blob of rock like that and just come out with a beautiful horse like that over there. And the sculptor said, oh, it's really easy. He said, I just take my hammer and my chisel and I knock off everything that doesn't look like a horse. Well, that's funny. until you think that God's plan for your life and my life is He's going to knock off everything that doesn't look like Jesus. And folks, that's going to take a lot of chiseling and a lot of hammering and a lot of molding. He had another illustration. And he'd go around and he'd ask it to congregation. He said, "Tell me now what always comes out of a lemon when you squeeze it. Do you know? Huh? What?
Juice.
See, that's what most people always say. But, you know, that's not always true. Did you know that? Do you know what always comes out of a lemon when you squeeze it? Well, I suppose the lemon was rotten and you squeezed it. What would come out? A bunch of rottenness, wouldn't it? A bunch of corruption, wouldn't it? But that Manly Beasley says, I'll tell you what always comes out of a lemon when you squeeze it. What's in it? What's in it? Always comes out. And you know what? You know what comes out of you when it squeezes on? What's in you? And that's what comes out of me. And God wants to fill you up and fill me up with Jesus. And He puts the squeeze on us all the time. He lets things come in. He lets people rub you the wrong way. Manly Beasley says it's heavenly sandpaper. To sand us down, make us more like Jesus. But you know, He puts the squeeze on us. God lets these things come into our lives and puts pressure on us. And He wants Jesus to be seen. But so many times, Jesus isn't seen, is He? He's just some kind of corruption scene or some bad attitude or something else. Some complaint comes out of us. But He's not going to stop, folks. He's not going to stop putting the pressure on. He's not going to stop squeezing you because you let the corruption come out one time. He's going to keep doing it until you and I let that area of our life be filled up with Jesus. So the next time the pressure comes, Jesus is going to be seen. Because that's God's will for your life and for my life. Let's pray. Our Father, we thank You this morning for Your perfect will for our lives. And we thank You, dear Father, that there's no way that anybody in this room or that I can cause Jesus to be shown in my life except to empty myself, to die to myself, and to let You fill me up with Him. Because there's nothing in me that would glorify You, and there's nothing in anybody else in this life in this room that would glorify You. But Lord, when we come to the place to sell out to You and to praise You and to thank You for who You are and to realize that You really are God and just to allow You to rule and overrule in everything that comes into our lives, Lord, we believe that in the days ahead that maturity is going to come, praise is going to come, and when the pressure's on, the Lord Jesus is going to be seen. We pray that that would be true in each one of our lives this day, not somewhere off in the future, but this day, that we might just commit ourselves to You and say, Lord, may Your will be done. May Jesus be seen through me this day, because we ask it in His name. Amen.